Lord, we thank you for helping us to praise you with our voices. Please help us to praise you with our lives and praise you with our seeking of understanding from your word, for your name's sake. Amen. Please sit down. We continue with our teaching series from Jesus' family tree in Matthew chapter 1. That's how the New Testament starts. And so far we've gone down through some of the names in the family tree. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Judah, and a bit about Tamar. And we know a bit about these people because they have a backstory in the book of Genesis. But as you go down the family tree, there are also lots of people we don't know about. And so we're not preaching on them. The next person we are going to teach about is somebody called Rahab. A few generations down, Rahab. Her name means, well, I think it means monster. She was a foreigner from Jericho, and so she was a very unexpected person to be in Jesus' family tree. And so it's well worth looking at her backstory in Joshua chapter 2. I think it was read not long ago. And can I ask you to turn to Joshua chapter 2? Shout out a page number if you get there before me. 214 in the church Bible, something similar if you brought your own Bible along. And to catch up with the setting of this, God's people have made their way back from Egypt, where at least 400 years after the events that we've looked at previously with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Judah. And after a few centuries of slavery in Egypt, the Old Testament people returned to the Promised Land and found a lot of other people living in it. So they make camp on the border near the city of Jericho and send in two men to see what's going on. Joshua chapter 2. Then Joshua, son of Nun, sent two men secretly from Shittim as spies, saying, "Go, view the land, especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab and spent the night there. So already this chapter has become sleazy James Bond. But if you were wanting to be strangers in a foreign place, two men spying somewhere out and aware that you might be recognized as strangers, then a place of prostitution might be a fair choice. But even there, they are noticed. Verse 2, the king of Jericho was told, "Some Israelites have come here tonight to search out the land." Then the king of Jericho sent orders to Rahab, "Bring out the men who have come to you, who entered your house, for they have come only to search out the whole land." The intelligence services were working well in the city of Jericho. What would Rahab do? Well, what was easiest? Give up the foreign men and all is forgotten. The king of Jericho is happy and she can get on with her life in peace. Maybe. But for Rahab, it's not that easy, because she had a strong feeling that she wouldn't be able to get on with her life in peace. For two reasons: her conscience. She recognized that these people were God's people, and so she didn't want to betray them. But there was another reason which comes out later in the passage, which was that she understood that God's people had been promised this land, And so they would invade. And so carrying on her present life in peace wasn't really an option as she saw it. She knew these men had hundreds of thousands more with them, camping down the road, waiting to invade. And she had heard how they had escaped from Egypt and beaten the other kings in their path. So she was in a pickle. Do what her king and the Jericho secret police wanted her to do, give up the men and get invaded anyway, or hide the spies and see if they would spare her and her family when they invaded. It was scary both ways. But I guess it came down to who she feared most, the king of her city and his Jericho secret police and her fellow citizens, or God, the King of heaven and earth, and his purposes with his people. It's not always easy, is it? If you believe in God and his purposes. The story goes on in verse 4. Rahab was gutsy, and she knew how to spin a story. But the woman took the two men and hid them. Then she said, "True, the men came to me, but I did not know where they came from. And when it was time to close the gate at dark, the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you can overtake them." She had, however, brought them up to the roof and hidden them with the stalks of flax that she laid out on the roof. So the men pursued them on the way to the Jordan as far as the fords. As soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Security was strong. So Rahab had decided that it was wiser to betray her fellow citizens in the hope of sharing a future with God's people than betray two of God's people and invite a bleak future on the wrong side of God. And she was quick-witted as well as wise, wasn't she? Well, we can have some judgment on her and her actions and her talk because the New Testament writers comment. Indeed, we heard one of those comments as our second reading, didn't we, from the book of Hebrews. Do go forward, if you like, to Hebrews chapter 11. Because it is there that the writer to the Hebrews calls Rahab faithful. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. That's a rather clear statement of her faithfulness to God and his people. Indeed, it's not just the writer of the Hebrews. If you go over another couple of pages to James chapter 2, verse 24, in the context of a discussion about faith and how faith needs to be shown by deeds, if it is true faith, James says this in verse 24 and following, chapter 2 of James. "You see that a person is justified by works, not by faith alone. Likewise, was not Rahab the prostitute also justified by works when she welcomed the messengers and sent them out by another road?" Here is an example given of how someone's faith needs to be shown by their deeds. And who is the example? Who is held up as a beacon of faith shown by deeds? It's Rahab. Her circumstances were unpromising, to put it mildly. She was between a rock and a hard place. And I guess for that reason, she is held up as a beacon of faith because her faith was all the more impressive. Now, let's go back to Joshua chapter 2 and verse 8 and take up the story some more. Back on page 215 of the Old Testament. Because when she went up onto the roof, after she'd sent the secret police away, she had a conversation with the spies. Verse 8, before they went to sleep, Rahab came up to them on the roof and said to the men, "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that dread of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land melt in fear before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond the Jordan, to Zion and Og, whom you utterly destroyed. As soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no courage left in any of us because of you. The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on earth below." So Rahab believes the promises of God. It's not just pragmatism, it is faith, isn't it? You can see that in what she's saying. It's not just self-preservation, is it? It is faith as well. "I know that the Lord has given you the land." She believes the promises of God to Abraham. "The Lord your God is indeed God in heaven above and on the earth below," she says. She believes in God. And so that is credited to her as faith. And she showed it by choosing to help the spies and then asking for their help in return. Can you see how she goes on in chapter 12? "Now then, since I've dealt kindly with you, swear to me by the Lord that you in turn will deal kindly with my family. Give me a sign of good faith that you will spare my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." The men recognized her faithfulness and her good faith and said, "Our life for yours. If you do not tell this business of ours, then we will deal kindly and faithfully with you when the Lord gives us the land." Her faith in God would give her a share in God's future promises fulfilled. It's true of her and anyone who joined the Old Testament people of God, even foreigners like her, and it's true of us as New Testament people of God, isn't it? Different promises, but same faith. The Old Testament people had the Old Testament promises of the land and the nation, the people who became a nation, in order to bless others. In the New Testament, we have the promise of complete forgiveness of sins through Jesus' death and resurrection, and so a place in heaven and his Holy Spirit with us now. Different promises, but faith is believing in God's promises. Despite our unpromising circumstances, and showing our faith by our works, living it out in our decisions and our deeds, even when those decisions are very difficult decisions, massive dilemmas, which affect our own safety and security and decisions about who to be loyal to around us. Do we take action like Rahab on the basis of God's word and his promises? Do we fear God more than we fear our own society's disapproval? Rahab did. she feared God more. People with faith in God do. And she continued to do so, as we see from verse 15 and onwards. Then she let them down by a rope through the window. For her house was on the outer side of the city wall, and she resided within the wall itself. She said to them, "Go toward the hill country so that the pursuers may not come upon you. Hide yourselves there for 3 days until the pursuers have returned. Then afterwards you may go your way." The men then said to her, "We will be released from this oath that you have made us swear to you if we invade the land and you do not tie this crimson cord in the window through which you let us down, and you do not gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers and all your family." Their deeds are following up their promise. If any of you go out of the doors of your house into the street, they shall be responsible for their own death, and we shall be innocent. But if a hand is laid upon any who are with you in the house, we shall bear the responsibility for their death. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be released from this oath that you made us swear to you. She said, "According to your words, so be it." She sent them away and they departed. And what's the very next thing she did? Because she's a person of faith. Then she tied the crimson cord in the window. Actions which showed her faith in God and her loyalty to his people. When the crunch came, a very good reason to make sure her name is included in Matthew's family tree of Jesus, in Matthew chapter 1. Now, it is just possible that the Rahab mentioned in Matthew chapter 1 is some other Rahab, but there aren't any others mentioned in the Old Testament around that time. Who on earth would want to be called monster who lived around that time? And Matthew has probably missed out a few generations in order to satisfy his neat bit of maths in Matthew chapter 1, 6 groups of 7 generations before the coming of Jesus, the 7th one, the end, the promised completion. Rahab would probably have been more like the great-great-grandmother of Boaz, but she was in the family line, the seed came through her. And actually, the link to Boaz gives us another lesson. A lesson that the people of God were learning at that time. You see, Rahab was a foreigner. How could a foreigner be included in the descendants of Abraham, from whom God's king for all people for all time would come? A foreigner? Surely not. A foreign prostitute? God forbid. And yet God chose this foreign prostitute to become the great-great-grandma in this family tree of the promised Savior of the world. And it was a pointer. It was a pointer to God's purposes in the New Testament, as well as his purposes in the Old Testament. What's the third promise to Abraham after the land and that his family would become a nation, a large people? It's that they would be blessings to the other nations. So God's plan was to reach all sorts of foreigners and to bring them into his people. This becomes even clearer in the New Testament. All nations would be called to receive the Savior. Foreigners from everywhere, every nation and tongue and people and race. So foreigners are welcome. Foreigners become God's people too. And so Matthew, in his family tree of Jesus, makes sure that we have a chance to understand this. Not only in mentioning Rahab, but by pointing out that one of the next ones down the list, Boaz. We were preaching on Boaz and Ruth, weren't we? This time last year, I think. Where did Ruth come from? Yeah. My 12-month memory is like that as well. Ruth came from Moab. She was a Moabite, a foreigner. One of the big things about the story of Ruth is just that. She was a foreigner who was brought in to the people of God. Ruth, the foreigner. Rahab, the foreigner. In this part of Jesus' family tree, Matthew is making clear an important principle that the Old Testament people of God often found very difficult. Indeed, all sorts of societies find difficult. Our society is having all sorts of ructions about foreigners at the moment, isn't it? And some of those are focused in Withenshaw and Sale East, where there's a by-election going on at the moment. It's a challenge. It's a challenge to our sinful xenophobia, if there's any of that in us. But it's also a challenge to our understanding of who God is calling to be one of his people. And Matthew, in his list of Jesus' family tree, helps us to understand rightly that people from all nations are to be included in God's people. That's the point. The Saviour, the promised Saviour, as they knew it, the Saviour who has come as we know him, Jesus Christ, is for everyone. And Jesus' family tree includes two very impressive foreigners. In order that, well, Matthew's saying, isn't he, stand by for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the rest of my gospel, which says salvation is offered to everyone, Jews and Gentiles and all sorts of foreigners. And Matthew is saying, if you find it a stumbling block that Rahab was a prostitute as well as a foreigner, stand by for the gospel of Jesus Christ, which says salvation is offered to all sinners. The good news of Jesus Christ is good news for Rahab and for all people who acknowledge their sin and put their trust in the people of God, in the promises of God. That's faith. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Please help us to believe you and to work out our belief in actions, good decisions. Amen.